Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is How Did the Apostles Preach Christ Out of the Old Testament, number 3. Now, we've covered quite a bit here in Isaiah. We'll take a little bit more looking at some of the things in Isaiah. Let's come to Isaiah 42. And then we'll go through some of the things in the Psalms. And then what we will do, we'll go to the book of Acts and see how the Apostle Paul preached. And always love it when he goes into a synagogue, he causes a riot. Okay, verse 1, Isaiah 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now, right out of here, we have words quoted in the New Testament. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I delight. Okay? I have put my spirit upon him. And hold your place right here in 42, and let's come over here to 55. Or no. 61. Isaiah 61. Now, all of these things had to be here in prophecy to prove that when Jesus was in the flesh, he was really the Messiah. And there had to be so many prophecies of him that you couldn't say, oh, well, this is a coincidence. Or, oh, well, this is a coincidence. Or, oh, well, the apostles have been with him so long that, and they knew the scriptures. So they're just writing about it. Remember, the apostles weren't converted until after Jesus was resurrected. Remember one of the things he said to them? Oh, hard-hearted and slow to believe? Right after he was resurrected. All right. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me, no one else. And you probably have a marginal reference there to Luke, the 4th chapter. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luke 4. Yeah, Luke 4, 18. That's it. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now he stopped right there, because that covers his first coming. Now in the coming book, the appointed times of the Messiah, which were just about done, and thank Dolores for doing some pretty heavy editing so we can get it right. And she always says, Fred, can't you use some other word?
I never did.
And I reply, that's why you're here. Now, his second coming is here, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint those who mourn in Zion, giving them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now think about Jerusalem today over there. Think about what if you had to live in Jerusalem. Everybody around you hates you. And here's old Mach Majini God over there saying, we want to annihilate Israel from off the map. Well, you can see how this applies to it. So that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then it goes on, build the old places, the old waste places, and so forth. Now back to Isaiah 42. And isn't it interesting? It talks about how he would conduct his life, what he would preach, who he was, and here is how he would conduct his ministry. I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now, That one statement right there has two applications. Number one, raising up of the Apostle Paul to preach to the Gentiles. Number two, the church going out into the whole world. And number three, when Christ returns. So this is what we find with the scriptures in the Old Testament. There can be multiple applications of verses or parts of verses, in some cases even a phrase. A broken reed he shall not break, showing he's not going to be a revolutionist. He's not going to be like, you know, Wall Street, Occupy Now. And a smoking wick he shall not quench. In truth, he shall bring forth justice. Now, you take this one statement here, and you start going through Jesus' confrontation with the scribes and Pharisees and priests at the end. And they would come up and try and trap him. And then he would say, have you never read? And remember the one where they said, now you're doing these things, and we want to know by what authority you're doing them. So he said, I'll ask you one thing. The baptism of John, was it of God or was it of men? So they had a quick little huddle over here, and they say, well, if we say from God, he'll say, why didn't you believe him? If we say from man, we're afraid of the multitudes, they may stone us. Because, see, a lot of them believed John and repented. So they said, we cannot answer, which means they really knew. So what did Jesus say? Oh, neither am I going to answer you. Okay? So then he asked them another question. The Christ, whose son is he? Son of David. So he came to Psalm 110. Let's turn there. Psalm 110. We'll come back to 42. Okay. Psalm 110. Now, as we're turning to Psalm 110, let's understand something. That originally, where it said, the Lord said to my Lord, both of those were YHVH. And the Jews, in copying it, made note that they changed it from YHVH, Jehovah, to Adonai. There are 134 places in the Old Testament where they did that. And when they did it, they had to mark it down in the margin that they did it. See, so they had to document what they did. All right, here it is. Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies as your footstool. Okay? So Jesus said, if the Christ is the son of David, how does David call him Lord? They couldn't answer. See, because if they did answer, then they would have to believe in Jesus. They would have to believe in the miraculous birth. They would have to believe John the Baptist, see. So, that's all prophesied there. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. And then it comes down here to verse 4, which is quoted many, many times in the New Testament. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at your right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. And of course, that's his second coming and so forth. But hold your place there in Isaiah 42, and let's come to Genesis 14, where it talks about Melchizedek. And this is part of what it was when they were talking about Melchizedek. And then, of course, Paul writes very extensively concerning Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews. Okay? All right. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 18. All right? Genesis 14 and verse 18. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he's also the priest of God, brought forth bread and wine. Now, we don't know when it was. We don't know if this was a proto-Passover thing or not. So it was probably unleavened bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High. Now, in the Old Testament, where you see the term the Most High, that is talking about God the Father. So, even in the Old Testament, the Jews should have been able to understand that there were two who were called Elohim. And of course, in the New Testament, there's nothing to prove that there's a Trinity, though most of the Christian world believes in it. And a lot of them take it this way. Well, there's a Trinity, and you can't convince me of anything else. All right, God will convince them sooner or later. And he blessed them and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God, who delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. All right, now back to Isaiah 42. So this is why it's good to go through here and see all the prophecies, because now, like Isaiah was written in the B.C., the late part of the century and into the 700s B.C., so then you have 700 years, 800 years to Christ. Okay? Now, verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged until he has set justice in the earth. Now, we can apply this to both the first coming and the second coming. First part to the first coming. Justice has not been sent into all the earth yet. So this is, remember where we started out? Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and this is how the Old Testament has been put together. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, spreading forth the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and will give you for a covenant of the people. Now, there we have a prophecy of becoming new covenant. This also then can tie in, we can take the bread and wine with Melchizedek, tie that in with here, we can bring that forward to the New Covenant Passover. So you see how all of these things add up. That's why the Bible is so fantastic. There is not another book in the world that can even come close to matching what the Bible does. And consider this. There were 40 different writers of the Old Testament, and yet every single one of them agree. There is no conflict. There is no contradiction. They all agree. Which tells you what? They had to be inspired of God, led by God to do so. Now, what if you got a group of 40 men together? Now, they're separated by hundreds of years, too. So it makes it even more complicated. But if you get 40 men together and you tell them to write on a variety of subjects, how many do you think would agree? Not very many, so this is a miracle of the Bible. Okay. For a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out from prison, those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. Now, if the Catholics would be honest and read that, then they would have to take all the images out of their cathedrals and temples, see? And when they get trapped on, well, you worship idols. No. We venerate them. See? Okay. Well, God says, don't even make them. Behold, the former things have come to pass. And new things I declare before they happen, I tell you. Now, you could take this first part of verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Everything about Christ up to his first coming. New things I declare, the new covenant. And new things I declare before they happen, I tell you of them. You can take the prophecies of the New Testament and the book of Revelation. Now, isn't it interesting? You remember how it says in Daniel that many shall go to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I've commented on this, but just that part of that verse is incredible. Because you think about it. We have 7 billion people on the earth today. How many are cars, motorcycles, scooters, bicycles? How many are there? Buses, trucks, trains, planes of all kinds? So that verse is being fulfilled. And anyone who would read that, I mean, you don't have to have any spiritual knowledge to understand that. All you have to do is just look at the world. So how many times a day is that being fulfilled? Repeatedly every day. Millions, maybe billions of times. So what is the degree of fulfillment of that one little verse? It's almost overwhelming how thorough that has been fulfilled. How do we all get here? We drove. Hey? Imagine Paul would have loved to have had a car. Even an airplane to get away from all those guys after him, okay? All right, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the seas and its fullness, the isles and people, so forth. And then it talks about some other things of his second coming and so forth. All right. Now, so this is really quite something. Let's come to Isaiah 52. Now, there are some other things here as we go through, but I just want to cover the ones that are the most obvious. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall rule well. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. That's true concerning Christ. It does apply to his first coming, but when he is first coming, how did he say he conducted himself? Remember when the two sons of Zebedee and the mother came to Jesus saying, "Oh Lord, I got some good sons over here. I want one in your right hand, one in your left hand." So what did Jesus say? He said, "You shall not be like the Gentiles who lord it over, katakurio, dictatorship downward, and the great ones who are the religious benefactors who do the same thing." He said, "The one who will be great among you will be one who will serve." And he said, "And the Son of Man came to serve." See? So there are a lot of things that you can bring out here with this one. It can also talk about his second coming as king over the world. Now, verse 14 and 15 have to do with the crucifixion and shed blood. Many were astonished at him, for his body was so disfigured, even his form beyond that of the sons of men. Now, I added to the book appointed times on the crucifixion, because Jesus said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with it. I am burdened till it's accomplished." That was the crucifixion. and his baptism was his shed blood. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." So that added a great deal to the crucifixion day. Now notice verse 15. "So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths after they say, 'Yes, sir.'" Not like rulers today. "They shall shut their mouths because of him, for they will see that which was not told to them, yea, what they had not heard, they shall consider." Now, hold your place right here, and let's come to 1 Corinthians 2. Now, this is one of the places. Now, I'm sure there's another place similar to it. But notice how Paul brings out this about the things you have not seen and you have not heard. Okay? 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And also, this tells us quite a bit about how much knowledge and things that God wants us to learn. Verse 9. "But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man." Now that's quoted also in Isaiah 64. "The things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Now in this age, you know, because we're going through showing how the apostles were teaching from the Old Testament, think about this age. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, we have the history of how it was canonized, we have all the translations into so many languages and billions of Bibles out there in the world. Now, Dolores and I, the other night, we were watching a series on History Channel going through the book of Revelation. And as long as they stuck to the scriptures, it was really quite good. Very accurate. Well, that's part of a witness to people. You know, that'll get to people who don't watch the religious channels, see? At least it'll be there. Now, who knows? Maybe that'll be a springboard for people to get interested in the Bible and the Word of God. But what I want to bring out for us today with this is this, that we have the whole Bible. The whole Bible. And there's one thing that happens when, and it's called Laodiceanism. But it's also based upon how we react. When we have everything, when we're full, what happens? Have you ever had a big meal? And after a big meal, you're sleepy. And then we get so busy. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time for study. See? So we have to always go forward in everything that we do. Okay? That's why this is fantastic. See? God's Spirit, even the deep things of God, and we have an opportunity way beyond what they did in the New Testament church to understand. Because we can see all the prophecies taking place out there today. We can almost give a new sermon on prophecy every week. I mean, look at the things that I did with transhumanism with the sermons, and then I did 9 of them with church at home. And then I'm starting through, or Randy is posting the ones that I did on God's transhumanism for us. See? Because the truth is, this life is only temporary, and God wants us transformed, as we have seen. So those are the deep things of God. And then think about this. Think of all the people that have been in the world up to the time that John received the revelation from Christ. They could read the Bible if they had it. They could read even certain parts of the New Testament. But without the book of Revelation, you cannot understand the end time. And I'm sure when it was first written, when they first got the book of Revelation, The Apostle John came and said, I've written this down. This is direct from Jesus Christ. He told me, write. Write the things that you see. Okay? And they started reading it. And I bet that they thought, this doesn't make any sense. How can it talk about the whole world? They didn't even know what the whole world was. How can they talk about all nations? They didn't know all nations. Well, it's there for us today. An amazing thing. And I think it's great that they were able to do as good a job as they did on the History Channel, because there are some people who never have heard some of these things. And they go to some of these Sunday-keeping churches, and I don't think they mentioned the rapture in that particular segment of it. But if you go to Sunday-keeping churches, they all talk about the rapture. Oh, well, we're hunky-dory, we're just fine. If you're in this church, when the secret rapture comes, whoop! Oh, yeah, they did. They did talk about it, yes. Planes will crash because the pilots are taken away. Trains will crash. Cars will crash. See? All right, but here is the key. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, what is it going to be like to be a spirit being? Don't know, but we can contemplate. What is it going to be like to walk down the streets of New Jerusalem, where the streets are literally gold? What is it going to be like to see God the Father face to face? See, now we can contemplate these things, but until the book of Revelation, they didn't have a clear enough picture. But here is how the understanding comes. And even with the whole Bible today, a lot of people, if they read it, they couldn't understand it, but here's the key. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And today, for the people in the church, you know, the ministers have got to be teaching the people beyond grade school. Now, I just need to interject something here. There is a minister who for years has told his class that he teaches people to go out into their church, and it's a quite large church of God. He asked the question, does God keep the Ten Commandments? All the students answer yes. He says, wrong. Now think what that does to faith. Think what that does to cut people off from God. So I'm going to give a sermon here pretty quick. How does God keep the Ten Commandments? First thing he says is, the Bible says you shall not kill. God kills people. Wrong. Bible says you shall not murder. See, so they're not using correct translation. God can execute anyone at any time for sin. He can spare anyone at any time upon repentance. If you don't believe that, look at Manasseh, the worst king of all the kings of the tribes over Judah, and he reigned 55 years. I mean, think of 55 years of Clinton and Obama combined together. God was so angry because there was so much violence and witchcraft, and he turned the temple into a pagan place of worship. So God sent the king of Assyria to take him over to Babylon and threw him in prison. And you'd think, yeah, good. You deserve it. Well, he did. But what did he do when he was there? He repented. And guess what God did? He brought him back as a vassal king. See? He didn't have the sole rulership he had before. But when he got there, he tore down all the idols. He cleaned up the temple and everything, see? So God is able to work with different people in different ways all the time. Okay? Now, here's the thing that's important. Verse 11. For even among men, For who among men understands the things of men except by the spirit of man which is in him? That's why we have intelligence. That's why we think. That's why we can put things together, build, and all the things that we can do. In the same way also, the things of God, no one understands except by the Spirit of God. Okay? Now think. I want you to think about this. Think how much God has given to us, and always remember, to whom much is given, much is required. So there can be never a time we can sit back on our laurels and say, oh, we did this, oh, we did that, oh, we did the other thing. Fine. It's good we have done those things, but today's a new day. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow? How's your relationship with God now? How's it going to be tomorrow unless you keep at it every day, you see? And every time I look at the whole Bible, and I think about this all the time, look at what God has put in the Bible and given to us, see? And think about all the people in the past who had various parts of the Bible. That was it. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. So that's why don't speak in human wisdom. All right. Comment was also made by that preacher, well, God doesn't keep the Sabbath. Yes, he does. Better than we do. Because he sends his Spirit to be wherever his people are. And if we're yielded to God, God is here with us, fellowshipping with us, with his Spirit. Now, how's that for keeping the Sabbath? And furthermore, since it takes 48 hours for the Sabbath to begin and end around the whole world, God keeps it for 48 hours, man's time. Okay? So how's that for keeping the Sabbath? And he does a spiritual work on the Sabbath. Isn't that what Jesus said when he healed on the Sabbath? He told him, I work and my Father works. Oh, man, they're going to stone him for that, see? Okay. Now back here to Book of Isaiah. All right? Okay, Isaiah. Yeah, let's come to Isaiah 51 here. We covered that in Isaiah 52. Let's come back here to Isaiah 51. Okay. Hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and made him many. Now, we have the physical children of Israel, don't we? Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. What does it say in Galatians 3? If you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So they could come here, and I imagine Paul did many times, and preach a sermon. Okay. Now come down here to verse 4. Hearken to me, my people, and give ear to me, O nation, for instruction shall proceed from me. I will make justice as a light to my people. You can apply that to the church. You can apply that to Jesus' second coming. Verse 5. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone out. My arm shall judge the people, and the isle shall wait upon me. And on my arm they shall trust. So that is his second coming. Now, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall become old like a garment, and its inhabitants shall die in the same way. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hello, all Protestants, read that last sentence. Okay? Now, Paul talks about this, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Okay. Now, let's come to Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah 53, and this is what we read on the Passover night concerning the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah 53 is in such detail. Now, remember, 800 years before the event. We were also watching the Dark Ages when Charles Martel and then his son Charlie Mann. It just had wars. Incredible. Think of all the peace we've had here. And we better take advantage of it and preach the gospel. Now, Isaiah 53 has to do with Christ and his sacrifice. Verse 1, who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, talking about his childhood and growing up, and a root out of a dry ground. Now, why does he say that? Because there was no spiritual substance to anything that was done even in Jerusalem at the temple when Jesus came. Dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should desire him. Now, it wasn't going to be outstanding. You know, not like today, some of the female commentators say, well, you know, the women are going to vote for this guy because he's younger and he's really good looking. And this other guy, he's old and kind of dumpy, and not too many women will vote for him, you know. Or, how about all of the different rock stars that are today, or the movie stars, you know, how they look, how they appeal? No, he came just as an ordinary man. See? He is despised and rejected of men. Sometimes we have a big burden to bear. Christ did. He had to bear all the sins of the world. He had to be hated, despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is a prophecy that they didn't even know what was going on. Can you imagine how the apostles felt after Jesus was taken away, tried, scourged, beaten, led out to be crucified, hung up on the cross, and here they were looking for him to be the Messiah. And they thought that surely he was going to rescue him from the Romans, and here the Romans killed him. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle it. But you see, he had a mission. And his goal was the redemption of the world, covering for all the sins of the whole world. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's why we take the Passover the way that we do. That's why we drink the wine and eat the bread. Because Jesus, as God manifested in the flesh, gave his whole being to save his creation. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we ourselves are healed. And of course, that was quite a night, quite a day. That's why when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested, he prayed so fervently that his sweat were like great drops of blood, and they know that if you're under great stress, even the vessels will leak blood out into the sweat, and it will come down on you just like you're bleeding. Let's go ahead and take a break here.